Hello, and welcome to Sekihan. Today, Japan's economy is growing on paper, but its people are not spending. So is this a boom or a bust? And why is Japan cutting taxes and raising interest rates at the same time? Let's start with the numbers Japan's government released on August 17, 2026. Real GDP for April to June grew at an annualized rate of 1.1%, the third straight quarter of growth. But open the report, and private consumption fell for the first time in 8 quarters. The headline is positive. The number closest to everyday life is negative. A confusing picture. The very next day, Japan's 10-year government bond yield touched 2.945%, its highest in about 30 years. And here is the strange part. The government is rolling out tax cuts, while reports say the Bank of Japan may raise rates again in September. An accelerator and a brake, pressed at the same time. Today we untangle what is going on. Here are the 3 questions we want to answer today. First, is Japan's economy booming or busting? Second, cutting taxes to warm up households while raising rates to cool things down, isn't that a contradiction? And third, who decides whether this tightrope act succeeds? Let's begin by sorting the numbers. First, let's sort Japan's numbers into a strong column and a weak column. The job market is strong. Unemployment is just 2.5%, and there are more openings than applicants. Yet consumption just fell for the first time in 8 quarters. Wages are rising too, up 1.6% in real terms, that is, after inflation, for 6 straight months. But companies cut capital investment for a 2nd straight quarter. Business sentiment at big manufacturers keeps improving, while surveys of consumer confidence stay soft. The footing is solid, but the money that should be moving forward is not moving. That is the split. Now let's open up that 1.1% growth figure. Domestic demand actually subtracted from growth. The entire boost came from trade with the outside world. But that external boost did not come from booming exports. GDP is calculated as exports minus imports. So when imports fall, the number rises arithmetically. That is what happened. And when goods stop selling at home, imports of materials and products shrink. The external plus may just be the domestic weakness seen from another angle. One more thing matters. Workers, incomes rose about 5% in nominal terms from a year earlier. Yet spending still fell. The problem is not that people lack money. It is that the extra money is not leaving their wallets. That is the heart of this story. The day after the GDP release, another number moved, a 30-year high bond yield. On August 18th, the yield on Japan's 10-year government bond touched 2.945%. That is its highest level since September 1996, roughly 30 years. Reports pointed to 4 forces, expectations of a September rate hike, worry about the government's fiscal course, oil-driven inflation concern, and a bond sell-off in the US and Europe. Not one villain, but several forces stacking up. Keep that in mind for the analysis later. But first, what does a good economy even mean, and why has Japan gone 30 years without one? Time for some basics. Let's start with the basics. What does it mean for an economy to be good? In one line, it is money circulating well. Companies earn, pay rises, people spend, and companies earn again. When that loop spins fast, you have a boom. GDP is simply the standard yardstick for measuring it, the total value of goods and services produced. The key point, no single number decides it. Jobs, wages, and spending have to turn together before you can call an economy good. Japan today has jobs and wages turning, but spending has stalled. That is exactly why neither boom nor bust quite fits. So why did Japan go 30 years without a real boom? Here's the story in 4 steps. It starts in the early 1990s, when Japan's land and stock bubble burst, leaving companies and banks buried in bad debt. Japan then slid into deflation, A world where neither prices nor wages rise. When prices never rise, companies cannot raise prices or pay, and shoppers learn that waiting makes things cheaper. The whole economy loops in the shrinking direction. To fight this, the Bank of Japan cut interest rates to virtually zero in 1999, and they stayed near zero for a quarter century. From 2013, Abenomics attacked the problem companies. First, massive monetary easing and a weaker yen to restore corporate profits, hoping wages and spending would follow. It worked for companies and jobs. Whether it ever reached households is still debated, and that debate shapes today's policy. And now, something has changed. Prices and wages are finally moving. Real wages have risen for 6 straight months, and prices between companies are up more than 7% from a year ago. The Bank of Japan ended negative interest rates in 2024, and in June 2026 raised its policy rate to around 1%, the highest in about 31 years. In other words, Japan is on its way back from 30 years without interest to a world where money has a price. That is why this summer features both a household-first tax cut and talk of another rate hike at the same time. To read that odd combination, two more basics. Here is why tax cuts are called an accelerator and rate hikes a brake. A tax cut leaves more money in people's hands. A rate hike makes borrowing more expensive across the economy. More take-home pay means more spending, more sales, more wages. The accelerator spins the loop faster. Costlier borrowing means less spending and investment. The brake cools overheating and runaway prices. And in Japan's case, the brake does one more thing. Higher rates tend to strengthen the yen. A stronger yen makes imports cheaper, so the brake also works on inflation at its entry point. Now the question many of you are asking. If spending is weak, why raise rates at all? The biggest reason is the weak yen. In July, it touched 164 to the dollar, its weakest in about 40 years. A weak yen makes imported food and energy more expensive, and that lands directly on households. In fact, import-driven inflation is precisely what has been eating the wage gains. Defending the yen is, in a real sense, defending households. There is also the price outlook. The central bank expects inflation to run clearly above 2% from late this fiscal year. Slam the brake after prices overheat, and you crash the economy. So the logic is to press gently now, while things still look calm. And one more reason. With rates at zero, the central bank has no ammunition, no room to cut when the next downturn comes. Restoring rates in calm times is also insurance for the next storm. To be clear, moving early has risks. Cool too hard and you kill the recovery. Inside the Bank of Japan, caution still dominates, which is why the September hike remains speculation, not a decision. One last basic, the key player of this video, the bond market. A government bond is an IOU the state issues when it borrows. Banks, insurers, and the central bank trade these IOUs every day. Their price runs on trust. When buyers start doubting whether a government can manage its debts, they sell and prices fall. And a falling bond price is the same thing as a rising yield. The cheaper you buy the IOU, the more you earn holding it. So the long-term yield works like a daily report card that markets write on a government's fiscal policy. A 30-year high of 2.945% means the grade just moved. Who scored what? That is for the analysis. Now, how did Japan react? On August 17th, Japan reported 1.1% annualized growth with consumption falling, and the next day, bond yields hit a 30-year high. The argument played out in Japanese on X before most of it reached English-language media. The epicenter was Prime Minister Takachi's own post announcing the figures as a moderate recovery. It drew about 1.56 million views. But among the most shared private posts, almost none echoed her recovery line. The dominant frame, the headline is positive on paper, but hollow inside. Interestingly, the two visible camps, fiscal hawks and pro-stimulus voices, disagree on the remedy, yet converge on one diagnosis. The economy right now is weak. These posts reflect a finance-literate slice of X, not Japanese public opinion at large. With that in mind, here are the sharpest voices. The most shared takedown came from an analysis account, quote, posting the Prime Minister. It reads, consumption down, investment down, housing down. All three pillars of domestic demand wiped out. So what pushed GDP positive? Not exports. Imports collapsed, and that alone inflated the number arithmetically. The Post also flagged the least read number in the release. Real gross national income, down 1.8% annualized. Production rose, but the income people can actually use fell. And it closed with the line that traveled furthest. Numbers do not lie, but the choice of which numbers to read can. Notably, this mirrors the same import arithmetic we walked through earlier. Japanese readers reached it within hours of the release. On the bond side, an asset management executive offered a contrarian read. What the market is wary of, he wrote, is not the rate hike, so much as the absence of fiscal discipline. Hike steadily, and long-term yields will actually settle. A large investing account pointed at a different risk, the yen carry trade. Japan's rates are at a 30-year high, and the yen is still weak at 159, it noted. Normally, a currency strengthens when its rates rise. That is a sign something gets corrected somewhere. The reference point is August 2024, when a rate hike helped trigger the largest single-day point drop in the Nikkei's history. Meanwhile, the pro-stimulus side objected from the opposite direction. The party leader arguing the food tax cut is too small and too complicated, not too expensive. Weak now, but disagreeing on the cure. That is the shape of Japan's debate. Now the analysis. Start with this. The accelerator and the brake aim at different targets. The tax cut faces households, directly repairing purchasing power eroded by inflation. The rate hike faces the weak yen and import prices, normalizing an ultra-easy stance that has outlived its emergency. The two overlap on exactly one goal, protecting what households can actually afford. Cool prices, but not the household. On paper, that division of labor can work. But they also partly cancel each other. Higher rates reach households through mortgages, and tax cuts prop up demand and therefore prices. A division of labor, yes, but one where each tool partially erases the other's work. That is the view from the household side. Now watch what happens when the bond market looks at the same two policies. They become two sell signals. Tax cuts without a funding plan make traders expect more government IOUs, and a bigger supply means lower prices. Rate hike expectations, meanwhile, push down the price of every bond already in circulation. So two policies that complement each other for households are, to the bond market, both reasons to sell, double pressure. And as yields rise, the government's interest bill grows, which feeds the fiscal worry that started the selling. Once that loop starts spinning on its own, the market cannot stop it from inside. That is what makes this a tightrope act. How hard do rising rates hit the government's wallet? Here is the finance ministry's own projection. Debt service, repayment plus interest, stands at 31.3 trillion yen in fiscal 2026. Assuming rates climb from 3 to 3.6%, it reaches 41.3 trillion by fiscal 2029, 10 trillion more in 3 years. The interest portion alone nearly doubles, from 13 to 21.6 trillion yen. The key is that the pain arrives late. Bonds already issued carry old, low rates. The burden builds only as they roll over. Higher rates will not break the budget today. Left alone, they grind it down with certainty, a time lag structure. What about the two actors on the rope, the government and the Bank of Japan? Their relationship is neither war nor harmony. In May, the Prime Minister reportedly asked the central bank governor to buy bonds to stabilize long-term rates. The bank denies any connection to what followed. What followed was elegant. In June, the bank raised rates and simultaneously paused the tapering of its bond purchases. Not obedience, not defiance. Tighten policy, but cushion the bond market. The central bank is walking the same tightrope. And there is a player outside the frame, the United States. In late July, Japan and the U.S. conducted their first joint yen buying intervention in 28 years. The U.S. Treasury Secretary has reportedly urged the Bank of Japan to hike. Behind the rate hike watch sit both yen defense and U.S.-Japan coordination. Finally, the line that decides whether this policy mix succeeds. The key is not the size of the tax cut. It is whether the economy's growth keeps beating the interest on its debt. If the economy grows faster than the debt costs, the debt ratio can stabilize even without repayment. That is the strongest argument the pro-stimulus side has. Right now, the condition holds. Nominal growth, including inflation, runs at 4.8% annualized above yields around 2.9%. But there is a weakness. Most of that 4.8% is inflation. Strip out prices, and real growth is just 1.1%. Inflation-swollen growth invites rate hikes, which raise the interest side of the race. To keep winning, Japan eventually needs real growth. The failure path is equally clear. Tax cuts flow into savings, revenue falls, and yields overtake growth and stay there. If that crossover sticks, it is the signal the gamble failed. Let's return to our three questions. First, is Japan booming or busting? Neither. It is a transition, solid footing in jobs and wages, with households still deciding whether spending will follow. Second, are tax cuts plus rate hikes a contradiction? Seen from households, no. It is a division of labor. Seen from the bond market, both are sell signals, double pressure. Third, who decides whether the tightrope act succeeds? The bond market grades it daily, but the final answer comes from whether households open their wallets. Two readings will tell us how this ends, a year from now. 1. Did consumption and real wages actually move? If wallets opened, the policy mix reached households. 2. Did long-term yields cross above nominal growth? If not, the bond market's confidence held. A 30-year high yield is also a scene from a longer story. Japan returning to a world where money has a price. How growth and public finance coexist in that world is a question that will outlast this quarter. You can find the full analysis and more Japanese reactions on our blog, linked in the description. Thanks for watching.